You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, number 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ida Wegmann, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Moyse. This is Chapter 9, entitled The Role of Protein in the Human Body and Proteinuria. Protein is the substance in the living body that can be transformed in the greatest variety of ways by its creative etheric forces, so that the forms of organs and of the organism as a whole are the outcome of protein transformation. To be used in such a way, protein must have the ability to lose any form resulting from the nature of its material parts the moment it is called upon to serve a form that is demanded of it in the organism. It is evident from this that the forces deriving from the nature of the hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon, and their interrelations, collapse within protein. Inorganic bonds cease to exist, and forces creating organic forms begin to be active in protein decomposition. These creative forces are bound to the etheric body. Protein is always on the point of either being taken up into the activity of the etheric body or of dropping out of it. Protein taken out of the organism to which it belonged assumes the tendency to become a composite, subject to the inorganic forces of hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon. Protein that remains part of the living organism suppresses this tendency and submits to the creative powers of the etheric body. We take in protein with our food. Gastric pepsin converts protein taken in from outside into peptones, initially soluble proteins. Conversion then continues with the aid of pancreatic juice. Initially, the protein taken in as food is a foreign body in the human organism. It contains the after effects of the ether processes of the life form from which it has been taken. These must be completely removed. The protein has to be taken into the ether activities of the human organism. We thus have two kinds of protein within the human digestive process. At the beginning of the process, the protein is something foreign to the human organism. At the end, it is something the organism has made its own. In between lies a state where the food protein has not yet entirely let go of those earlier ether activities and has not yet entirely taken in the new ones. It has become almost inorganic in this state. It is the point where it is solely under the influence of the human physical body. This, which in its form is a product of the human eye organization, has in it the powers to act inorganically. It thus acts to kill anything that lives. Everything that comes within the sphere of the eye organization dies off. The eye organization thus incorporates purely inorganic substances into itself in the physical body. These do not act in the human physical organism the way they do in lifeless nature outside the human being. But their action is inorganic, that is, they kill. This death-inducing action is applied to protein at the point in the digestive region where trypsin is active, a constituent of pancreatic juice. The trypsin mode of action also involves inorganic principles, as can be seen from the fact that this substance develops its activity with the aid of alkaline principles. Food protein lives in a foreign manner until it encounters the trypsin of the pancreas. It lives in the mode of the organism from which it has been taken. On encountering trypsin, the protein becomes lifeless. One might say that it only becomes lifeless for a moment in the human organism. There it is taken up into the physical body in accord with the principles of the eye organization. This must have the power to transfer the converted protein into the sphere of the human ether body. Food protein thus becomes material for the creation of the human organism. The foreign etheric activities formerly attached to it leave the human being. To digest protein in a healthy way, human beings need an eye organization which is so strong that all the protein needed for the human organism can be transferred to the sphere of the human ether body. If this is not the case, this ether body develops excessive activity. It does not receive enough protein prepared by the eye organization for its activity. The consequence is that the activity oriented toward enlivening protein taken in by the eye organization takes hold of protein that still contains foreign ether activities. The human being receives a number of activities in the ether body that do not belong there. These have to be eliminated in an irregular way. The result is pathological elimination. This pathological elimination takes the form of proteinuria. Protein is eliminated that should be taken up into the sphere of the ether body. It is protein which, because of weakness in the eye organization, has not been able to assume the transitional state of being almost lifeless. The forces that effect elimination in the human being are bound to the sphere of the astral body. With proteinuria, the astral body is forced to perform a function for which it is not prepared, and this causes its function to diminish in the areas where it should develop in the human organism. This is in the renal epithelium. Damage to the renal epithelium is a symptom indicating that the astral activity designed for it has been deflected. It is evident from the above where healing has to begin in the case of proteinuria. The power of the eye organization needs to be strengthened in the pancreas, where it is too weak. The end of chapter 9.